And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, and I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. And soon to be next week, in that beautiful little area we call the prettiest little town on the plains down the Auburn-Opelika region as we go on to WANI next week. So anyway, excited about that. All right, listen, we're going to shift gears. Whew. Lord, I need a break. So we're gonna take some time right now, shift the gears. You know, on Friday, we spend a little time getting away from politics, getting away from some of the serious, heavy topics, and we dive on into the world of sports. Well, JP actually has his own radio show on Saturday mornings called Off the Bench on the Ump out of Huntsville, and he's like a sports guru, like so much so that, stand by, there may be things coming in the future here on Right Side. But for right now, we also, every Friday, like to do a segment we call JP on Sports. JP on Sports. All right. You ready? All right. We do it in two waves. His first round is called the three and out. And we run the three and out as three different topics he thinks are the top three in sports world. It can be anything. And then we come back after the break and he does the 2-minute warnings. 2 minutes on anything he wants to talk about. We got buzzers and the whole thing. 3 minutes. Go, man.
So I don't know if y'all heard, but the Super Bowl is next weekend.
It is.
Super Bowl 59 will be next weekend. And we have our matchup of the Chiefs and the Eagles, which majority of football fans are not too happy about. I think that was the last Super Bowl that anybody won. I think a lot of people wanted to see at least the Bills in there, but Bills Commanders was like the most wanted outcome.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We got the Chiefs back in there going for a three-peat, and this is actually a rematch of Super Bowl 57 from 2 years ago. But the Chiefs, you know, they got away and they beat the Bills, but they didn't do it without controversy, which I feel like every Chiefs win this year has had some controversy with officiating. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a play where Josh Allen for the Bills was rushing and looked like he got a first down on a fourth and one, and the ref where Josh Allen was facing, aka the ref who could actually see where the ball was, spotted it as a first down. Meanwhile, the ref who saw nothing
but sideline ref.
The ref that saw nothing but Allen's back is the one that overruled him and ended up calling it short, and it caused a lot of controversy. That was a big call because, you know, ended up, I think the Chiefs scored on
is
the
that
drive
reviewable
next.
By the way?
It is, and I can't remember off the top of my head if they did review it. I think they did review it, and it stood. Like, they didn't see enough.
Yeah.
They didn't see enough to overturn it. Anyways, yeah. It looked pretty suspicious to me. But the Chiefs, for the fourth time, beat the Bills in the AFC Championship, and Josh Allen's now 0-4 against Mahomes, which every time it's come down to the wire like that. Even though the Bills beat the Chiefs earlier this year, the Chiefs were able to win when it mattered. So they're going on to potentially three-peat, which I don't think anybody wants them to, like I said.
What's the halftime show? Who's the halftime show? Do we have any
idea?
You know,
I actually don't know that. I feel embarrassed that I don't know that. Actually, I think it's somebody.
It's kind of quasi-sports question.
Yeah,
quasi-not.
Super Bowl halftime is Kendrick Lamar, the rapper. I should have known
what?
That. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar will be performing at the halftime show. I don't know any of anybody else that will be there.
The last really good one was when they had Aerosmith. That's just
I don't think I was even alive for that one, was I? I liked the one with Snoop Dogg and Eminem, the full rap timeline one where they were in LA. I thought that one was pretty good, but yeah, we'll see who can pull off this rematch of Super Bowl 57, but unfortunately, I think it's just going to be the Chiefs again. They find a way to win every single time when it comes down to it. You know, you can bash them all you want and you can hate them all you want, but they know how to win. So,
all right, fair enough.
Looking right now, but if Jalen Hurts, I mean, this is his second Super Bowl in only 3 years in the league, so it's pretty impressive for him to do that. This is his moment to step up, and you know it's not gonna be easy. Like I said, you're going up against the 15-1 Chiefs in the regular season. They're what, 17-1 now. So the Eagles are gonna have their work cut out for them. That's why I'm going with the Chiefs in this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, right here in the Gadsden area where our studio is, Brody Croyle still lives around here, mm-hmm. and he used to be the Chiefs quarterback for a period of time. I'm sure he wishes he had had a chance to wear that ring, but he's still. All right, got the three and out. What's next?
College basketball is still in full swing. SEC play is well underway. Auburn this weekend will be playing at number 23, Ole Miss. They just came off of a win this week. They won at LSU 87-74. Jahni Broome came back in the game last weekend against Tennessee. I didn't expect that. I think they kind of kept that under wraps on purpose. You know, Bruce Pearl was kind of stringing everybody along, like, oh, he may practice this week. You know, we'll see. And then he ended up playing in Tennessee, and he's back now. So it's a big get for Auburn to get their star guy back. But also, I mean, the guy who was in the running and the favorite to be the Wooden Player of the Year of Jahni Broome. So it's very nice for Auburn to have him back. But also on the other side of state, Alabama will be playing Georgia at home. They just got an 88-84 win against Mississippi State at Mississippi State. That was a big win for Alabama to come out on that one. So right now, you know, you got Auburn sitting at 1, Alabama sitting at 4. You know, some craziness could happen. We could have a 1-2 Alabama Auburn IBOB matchup later in February.
But IBOB, the Iron Bowl of basketball.
Yes, that's like one of my favorite terms to use, the IBOB. But it's both teams in the state are going to have to handle their business, which is so hard in the SEC. I mean, right now, I think last I checked, the SEC is on pace to have 10 or 11 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be hard, but I would love to see that. 1-2, Alabama-Auburn would be awesome. But, Auburn right now has got – I mean, they're going to Ole Miss, who's 23, and Ole Miss beat Alabama at home earlier this year by 10. So this Auburn's going to have a rough matchup this week at Ole Miss. We'll see. Alabama, too. I mean, Georgia's had great games. You know, this one being at home helps, but Georgia's had their moments where they've looked very, very good. So Alabama can't overlook Georgia either. So it's going to be – both teams have the work cut out for them this weekend.
And so when Broome came back against Tennessee – I mean, he'd been out for like, what, 10 days, 2 weeks?
He'd been out about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he really didn't skip a beat. I mean, he came in that game strong. There was no working his way back in.
He had over 20 points, and he sprained his ankle bad. Like, I watched it live. His ankle was about 90 degrees with the floor, and when it rolled, it was ugly. So I'm impressed he came back so fast. But, yeah, he's right back into it. He, like you said, he didn't skip a beat at all.
You got to know one of the best gigs is being a team doctor for Auburn or Alabama basketball right now.
Yeah. Isn't that what you wanted to do for a little bit?
I wanted to be a sports trainer. Yeah, I sure did. I had my undergrad degree is in sports medicine, but that's another day, another story. All right, 3 and out. That's 2. What else you got?
So this is my game of the weekend of number 5 Florida versus number 8 Tennessee in basketball. This is actually a rematch of earlier in the year where Florida put it on Tennessee. They won 73-43. So this will be a rematch, but this one will be
73-43.
Yeah, where Florida came out on top. So this one being in Knoxville helps things. SEC play number 5 versus number 8. Who would have thought, you know, Florida and Tennessee will be 5-8? But Florida has looked awesome this year. I mean, they've only lost at Kentucky by 6, which, I mean, losing to Kentucky, knowing, you know, that's not a loss to hang your hat on. But then 83-82 to Missouri. I mean, any close loss in the SEC is not really a bad loss. So Florida is, you know, they're playing very well. And like I said, they've already beat Tennessee when Tennessee was number 1 at the time when they beat them by 30. So we'll see if Tennessee can get some revenge in Knoxville. I think I'm riding with the Gators on this one, though.
Are you?
I think because, I mean, you beat a team by 30. You know, it'd be different if it was a rematch where it was down to the wire, but 30, that's pretty dominant. So we'll see if Tennessee, you know, is able to make adjustments and saw stuff on film to tweak and change. But, I mean, Florida is just – they're playing too hot right now, and they've already beaten this team badly. So although it's in Knoxville, it may make it a bit closer, but I'm still riding with the Gators on this one to keep rolling.
They beat them by 30. I mean, what did Tennessee do? Put 4 people on the court? What happened?
30 when Tennessee was number 1, by the way. I think the first time ever in AP history that a number 1 team in basketball lost by 30. So that we'll see. Maybe that embarrassed Tennessee enough that they come out and play lights out at home. But who knows? And they're coming off of a tough loss at Auburn. They played Auburn very, very close. So Tennessee's not necessarily the same team that lost to Florida. Well, I mean, that game was January 7th. So, I mean, that's coming up on a month ago almost. So, yeah, I think Tennessee is a different team. And playing at Auburn, too, is hard. So almost winning in the jungle. I mean, they may be a different team now, but still, I think I'm riding with the Gators to come out on top on that one and stay in the top 5. So add them to the list of Florida as the, you know, top SEC teams that could make a push for the Final Four.
All right, so you just went 3 and out, 1 on football, 2 on basketball. Let's do about a minute of overtime. What else you got in the hopper there?
Well, you know, the Senior Bowl, and I'm going to talk about this during the two-minute warning as well. We got the Senior Bowl for college football. You know, this is where all the seniors go down, and, you know, it's like NFL Scout Fest. It's in Mobile, by the way.
Right.
The Reese's Senior Bowl, I think it's still the Reese's Bowl. So Jalen Milroe for Alabama is down there right now. Peyton Thorne is not down there. He's in the East-West Shrine Bowl, which didn't even hear about that till this year. But there's been a lot of talk about how the quarterbacks have been playing down there. Jackson Dart for Ole Miss has apparently been the story of it, though. Some people have him as their quarterback number two in the draft. So Jalen Milroe, there's been a lot of clips of him struggling, but apparently he played really well in the scrimmage yesterday, so he's making up for that. I've seen some good clips from Peyton Thorne in the East-West Shrine Bowl practices, but I always like this time of year with the Senior Bowl. It's always fun because, like I said, the scouts are all down there, but they also televise like drills of, you know, you got a guy from like Chattanooga who's going up against an Alabama right tackle in a one-on-one drill. You know, those drills are always fun to watch. But yeah, it's about that time. We're inching closer to NFL draft time. So
it's gonna be crazy. And there's been times too when I know that like major players did not go to the Senior Bowl because they already knew they were in the draft and there's fear of injury. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you love seeing people come together and like you said, and different schools, they had different backgrounds and even different capabilities, mm-hmm. and they jump into, you know, one uniform and see what they can do.
Especially when you got like an Alabama guy playing on the same team as an Auburn guy or something like that, like rivals, you know.
Yeah.
it's always fun to watch.
All right, three and out. We're good. First round, JP on sports. We come right back. We go to the speed round. We call him the 2-minute warnings. He gets 2 minutes on any topic. I've got a stopwatch. We got a buzzer. Phil Williams, JP on sports. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so let's lawyer Phil here for a minute. Here's the thing. I mentioned during my interview with the AG a moment ago, shareholder derivative action. This is a unique situation in the law where someone can sue on behalf of a company that they just own a small piece of. Now, this is not something that you can just do willy-nilly, and you better not file a frivolous lawsuit. But here's the thing, just to give you the nutshell version without going into the minutiae of the law, a shareholder derivative action is something that where basically the shareholders feel that the boardroom is making bad decisions, and those bad decisions are impacting the profitability of the company such that the shareholders who have invested in the company feel like they're losing out. In other words, like, okay, here's one. How about if the Bud Light fiasco, if they found out right now I think they blamed it on that one advertising tech who thought she had a thing going on and she acted beyond the scope of what she should have done. Okay. What if the shareholders found out that the boardroom had said, here's a really good idea. What we want to do is put a trans guy and then mock all of our usual buyers. They lost a ton of money. They were people that were hemorrhaging their return on investment when it comes to Bud Light. All right. What about if you find out that the company, the investors find out the company is just literally investing in radical things that have no basis, or they're running down roads the company was never designed for. Those kind of things. The shareholders are owed a duty, a fiduciary duty, by the people who make the decisions in the boardroom. Now, sometimes you make decisions and they don't work out the way you'd hoped. I get that. But not when you look at something that is willfully, recklessly, negligently done such that it impacts the shareholders. All right, shareholders have a say. It's kind of like Disney. Shareholders in Disney were finally getting fed up with the wokeness coming out of Disney. With Disney fighting against legislation, with Disney fighting, you know, putting all kinds of stuff in children's cartoons, with Disney having to have, you know, make sure we have our trans characters and all. Shareholders finally began to speak up and say, we're losing money because of you. Would you please stop the madness? All right. How far have we come with DEI? I'm sitting here holding a copy of a blog written in 2023 that suggested that there could actually be derivative lawsuits by shareholders because companies weren't doing DEI. Like, if you're not hiring enough diversity, equity, and inclusion kind of stuff and forget merit and everything else, then well, we may not get the financing we used to. We may not get the ability to hire, you know, and then people won't, they'll dox us and they won't want to use our products. That's the climate we were in 2 years ago. Fast forward to 2025, it's a whole new day. Now you got companies like Costco, they got Al Sharpton walking in the door to support them because they're willing to stand up for DEI. Most of the world recognizes that DEI is a losing proposition. DEI is where merit goes to die. DEI is not hiring people who are best for the job. It's hiring people on a demographic and then hoping they can do the job. And I'm not talking about keeping people out. I'm talking about throwing people in. There's a big difference. Keeping people out is wrong. Telling someone because of your skin color you're not allowed to play here is wrong. Telling somebody because of their skin color that's the only reason they get to play here, that's also wrong. So yes, the shareholder derivative action, it's a real thing. And so when the Attorney General starts looking at Costco and saying, hey, Costco, you're hosing the people of the state of Alabama and I'm their, you know, their chief prosecutor, so how about you stop doing that? That's not a classic government overreach. What he's looking at there is there are people who are not being allowed to have jobs who should be, and there are profitability margins that are not being achieved because they refuse to use what are now known as good business practices, which means anti-DEI. So this is the weird situation we're in. Can you imagine? The shareholders of Costco, they have a right to know. And what's happening right now is they're demanding to know, is there a study that shows whether or not your DEI practices make us more profitable? Because we don't think there is. And what we're asking for is profitability. And they want to know. And the AGs are going, you better pony up some information, fellas. Otherwise, your DEI doesn't hold water. I'm telling you, y'all, DEI is in its death throes. And it can't come quick enough. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.